Over time, moss, mold, and mildew stains cover your home, and cleaning them is too much work. You need Wet and Forget, the easy bleach-free way to clean tough outdoor stains. For decks, patios, and cushions, use Wet and Forget outdoor spaces. No scrubbing, no rinsing. Just apply and let it do the work for you over time. Got a bigger job? Reach second-story siding and roofs with Outdoor Max. Up to a 30-foot reach and two times the coverage. Get Wet and Forget at Home Depot, Lowe's, and Walmart.
Hello there, everyone. Welcome to the NRF1 podcast. We are back post-Russia. We're going to analyse everything, all the good, the bad and the ugly from Sochi and a cracking race weekend, I thought, in Formula 1. My name's Michael Bailey. Joining me tonight to chew the fat and the cud and the crud. This is going well. We have Kyle Cumbers and Stephen Russ. Kyle, great to have you in. How are you? Are you well?
I'm very well, thank you. Yeah, enjoyed a good race, so yeah.
And you've been away, haven't you, since we last spoke?
Yeah.
So how was the Turkey second-hand car dealership?
I didn't actually get that far.
Oh, no.
Pull bar was too enticing, should we say.
That's fine. Turn 8, we'll have to wait. I'm on a rhyming mission tonight. Steve, how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, yeah.
Did you enjoy the race?
I did, yeah. I thought it was really good. Yeah, it was action-packed. It was good. It's better than last year's race, actually.
Very much so, and you'll be delighted to know that I didn't fast forward through the whole second half. So, more importantly, did you enjoy the Rolls Royce magazine?
No, not really.
Okay, did you have a look through it?
Extremely vulgar.
Extremely vulgar. What more would you want from a Rolls Royce magazine?
Well, I can't deny that.
Yeah, there we go, brilliant. That's the way to do it. All right, right. Let's concentrate on Russia, shall we? Then, so a great headline on this: collide and conquer. I thought that summed up a lot of the good things from the race weekend. There are people still trying to slag off Formula One for its entertainment at the moment, but as I said, I thought it was a cracking race and great to see. And I suppose the headline that we have to take away is that Mercedes are the Constructors' Champions for the second year running. I think they did it at Russia last year too, if I remember. So, well done, Mercedes. What should we say about them that hasn't already been said?
They're pretty good at building an engine in the car at the moment, aren't they? So, yeah, I mean, wasn't a surprise, was it? But, they've done a fantastic job again, and it's up to the rest of the teams to catch them. So.
Are Ferrari catching them a little bit though, Steve, do you think? Do you get that sense?
Yes, they are. They are. Ferrari are coming back. There's no doubt about that. You go with Ferrari's history, you're looking back in Formula One, and they have these big, long periods where they're just seemingly out of sight, and then all of a sudden they just come back. And I fully expect them to be really on their tail next year. Maybe not initially quicker than them, but probably there or thereabouts where they can seriously challenge them. They are coming back.
Which will be exciting. Only in Formula One, I suppose, can the Constructors' Championship be won by a 10-second stop-go penalty about 2 hours after the race. Unfortunately, Mercedes did still get to celebrate it all. But it was a fascinating end to the race. I'm not really sure where to start because there's so many different things, and we'll talk about Sergio Perez in a bit. But essentially, you had Valtteri Bottas in third, Kimi Raikkonen chasing him down for that podium place, and then he went slam into the back of him. Really, there's nothing else to say. I mean, you saw the more replays you saw of it, the more ridiculous it was that Kimi was trying that move, because it just wasn't there.
No, it wasn't on at all. I think the problem was he nearly overtook him early on in the race, didn't he? I suppose it was just a last lap thing. He thought, well, why not? He hasn't got much to lose, I suppose. You kind of want drivers to go for it, but that was a bit too far, and I felt sorry for Bottas,
especially as the knock-on effects. Indeed, Valtteri Bottas spent a long time in the car after, because I noticed he was still in the car after sort of everyone or the lead runners had kind of finished.
Yeah, he was. That was the only thing for me. I did feel really sorry for Bottas because he actually had a really good race, and he looked like he probably could have got that last podium spot. But brushing that aside, I thought it's fantastic.
But this is it. This is kind of the thing, isn't it? I mean, Kimi's been penalised, but he's gone for it. And the drama we got from the final lap, you know, made the race.
You go back to the early 90s with Senna and Prost era. I mean, you'd regularly, Senna would really get hammered for all of these audacious overtaking manoeuvres. But, you know, it was exciting. People love it. It was racing. It can go one of two ways. It can go brilliantly or go horribly wrong.
So there's just the adrenaline as well. So they overtook Perez the lap before, well, half a lap before that. And, yeah, so it's just last lap. Why not?
It was, I suppose, the thing about Bottas was that he'd worked so hard to get back in that position after Williams kind of ruined his strategy a little bit. And we may well come on to that in a bit too. But centering around Mercedes, of course, winning the Constructors' Championship, they did that at the weekend thanks solely to Lewis Hamilton's effort, because Nico Rosberg had huge bad luck, really, because he started well. He was brilliant in qualifying. He was looking good. And then his throttle breaks. I mean, out of all the things and the criticisms of him, that's just wretched bad luck. And he has had probably his fair share of it this year.
I think they're just evening it up from last year.
So you think it's deliberate? Just tweak the throttle, boys.
Just last year, I mean, Hamilton had all of the bad luck and Nico didn't as such. He had a little bit, but I don't think it was quite even by the end of the season. So I think they're just evening it up.
I love it. I mean, what can you say? Because it seemed to get worse. Nico couldn't deal with the problem and it just sort of fell down, didn't it? And you just want to shout at someone, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's just tiny little things as well, isn't it? That, I mean, Hamilton had the problem in Singapore, which throttle related was something that was near the engine, the clamp. But it's just a tiny little thing that causes such a problem. Seems better if it's like a big explosion than that, sort of, fair enough. But in a little thing like that, a little throttle damper, whatever it was,
Can I just say, actually, on that, I just suddenly remembered that after the race, I sometimes go on one of the F1 websites and where they have people sort of put in reviews, and I actually read a review to that story, and someone put in, well, if that was Schumacher, he could have drove around it. He always drove around problems and still won races.
No, well, there is that element.
Considering he is a German as well, I thought, oh, that's a really harsh one.
It was pretty harsh. I mean, there was an element when he first, I just assumed, oh, he's just made a mistake, he's run wide. It was only sort of after when he spoke about it, and he was the pedal was obviously coming higher and higher, so he had to keep lifting his leg higher and higher, and his knee was actually blocking him from steering at one point. So I think at that point, you probably can't blame him too much.
The cameras missed it though, didn't they? The actual overtake, I mean, you could argue it wasn't an overtake, but they actually missed it. It was a case we were watching it, and then all of a sudden I noticed on the screen it said Hamilton first, Rosberg in second. I was like, is that correct, considering we haven't seen it? Mm. And then you got the replay. And it's like, well, I thought we were supposed to be watching a race between who's winning, you know.
Live, exactly.
That was the other shame, that the possibility of having a great race for the lead, because the first time in a long while Hamilton's been behind Rosberg, and you thought, as last year, there's a lot of good races when Hamilton qualified poorly and had to overtake them, and you thought this could be a classic. And if that, you know, had the battle at the front with the battle for the final podium position, that could have been one hell of a race.
There are interesting questions, I think, about what happens going forward and maybe into and beyond next season, given that Lewis Hamilton's going to win this driver's title now, and what happens with Nico. At what point Mercedes get a bit twitchy and think we need to change it, or whether Nico goes, I need to move somewhere else because I've not got the handle on Lewis. At the same time, they're the car that's winning races, so he wouldn't want to go anywhere, would he?
I think he'll stay put. I think if there's a driver change, I think it'll only be instigated by Nico. Because at the end of the day, if he's still getting the second places and still helping them get the constructors and all that sort of stuff, then, you know, only one of their drivers obviously can win it or win a race at a time. So he's still doing the job that they want him to, whether they want to admit it that way or not. So I think if there is a change, it'll only be Nico just sort of saying, you know, I want to choose another team for whatever reason.
And it seems to be that Mercedes are quite keen on having Max Verstappen in their ranks before Ferrari get him. That's what the Checkered Flag podcast was saying. So there's obviously going to be a few interesting things over the coming months and years.
Yeah, I suppose it's like anything. They can see a driver available who they think is better in any sport, then they're going to try and go for him. I think Rosberg's got to be careful he doesn't fall into the sort of Webber trap at Red Bull when he comes quite defeated and seems to accept he's number two driver, and he needs to bounce back at the start of next season.
It's a difficult balance between that and enjoying where you are and enjoying it being in a race winning car, because you know, if he moves to other teams, it's not going to happen, is it? Obviously, we are aware Lewis Hamilton won the race. He was very good again. He's very happy and confident. He is on the brink of the driver's title now. I feel like we're probably going to talk about him a lot over the coming weeks. So let's just say well done, Lewis. And move on to the NRF1 pit stops. Where I think the only place to start really, although, I do think the only place to start really is Toro Rosso, because of Carlos Sainz's dramatic weekend. Hideous crash really on this Friday, was it?
Saturday.
It was a Saturday. Saturday FP3.
FP3.
Horrible crash. He's in hospital. Everyone's worried. I think there was a half an hour period where the whole paddock was genuinely worried about his health. And then you get a tweet that evening from Carlos saying, well, I'm trying to work out, you know, how I can persuade them to let me race tomorrow, which I assumed was a joke. Next thing, Sunday, the guy's racing. Now, in that period, he had a bit of a mare and said he felt ill while he was... surely he shouldn't have been racing. That's really what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I suppose, because apparently in the crash, he was, even though he's under the barriers and the Tech Pro barriers, he was fine and turned off the engine and done all the shutdown procedure as normal, so he wasn't knocked out at any point. I suppose he wasn't injured at any point. Then from the outside, you would say, I would say, if you want to race, you race. But obviously, really, it was up to him, really, by saying he was feeling ill, that obviously he wasn't right. So I think it was him, but he still had quite a good race, though. So
yeah, he did, until it all got a bit carried away towards the end, I suppose.
It's a tough one, really. I mean, yeah, you want him to go out racing, you know. They are, you know, brave and that, but yeah, maybe it's up to him really to say, maybe I'm not actually right. And
I mean, he wasn't knocked out, but he would have still taken an impact to the head, would have been my issue. And also then, if he has another accident, which can so easily have happened, you're going to get a second blow to the head. And I don't know, it's just very, didn't really like it. And then his brakes fail and he decides to keep running and ends up backing into the wall. It just all seemed to get a bit ridiculous. He was driving down the straight and his rear wing fell off, at which point a marshal took it upon himself to run into the track without worrying about whether there are any yellow flags or anything. I mean, it just all got a bit comic, really.
Yeah, I mean, it was back to sort of science really before we talk about marshals, but I just thought it was great that it showed the spirit of him really wanting to just get back in the car and race. I mean, you could understand it if he was in contention for the championship or something, but you know, he could have easily sort of said, well, yeah, okay, I probably shouldn't, fair enough, I'll sit this one out. But you know, he just desperately wants to get back in that car and just do what he wants to do. I thought that was great. You know, I mean, he was cleared by the hospital to race.
He was.
So, you know, there's a bit of sort of give and take, I suppose, really. But yeah, I just thought it was a bit of a crazy weekend for him. But you know, it created some more entertainment.
Yeah, this is, well,
he's
this is
the one, you know.
Yeah, and as long as everyone is safe and healthy, I'm just joining the dots together because I find it fascinating. What happens to the marshal? I mean, I know they're keen, but that was a little bit too keen, wasn't it?
A little bit, yeah. And it seems to be Vettel that seems to attract these these lunatics on, because he was the one who first came across the chap in Singapore. So maybe they're just big Vettel fans, all these marshals and spectators, and want to get as close to the action as possible.
If I want to get run over, I want it to be Seb. That's, for I presume, the only thing they could possibly be saying. We have touched on Williams, but let's get back to it. I mean, Valtteri Bottas had a great qualifying, something that Massa blew up, really. And I don't know what happened there, but it was a complete mess. Yet Massa finished, what, fifth? Fourth, wasn't it? Fourth. A phenomenal recovery from where he was, Steve.
Yeah, he had sort of seemingly a good race, but was actually sort of went unnoticed, I thought, really. I think it was probably helped by a few sort of retirements and instances towards the end of the race, but nevertheless, I mean, from a poor qualifying, you can't knock him for that effort, you know. I mean, I thought the Williams car was going to go good here, and it did, but even still, that's a tidy effort.
Yeah, it was interesting listening to James Allen, because he suggested that Williams botched Bottas's strategy and didn't do him any favours in the middle of the race, which I felt at the time as well, I must admit, but they got it spot on with Massa and really helped him make some serious progress.
I think it's quite a tough decision with Bottas, because he was really struggling at that point, and you thought Ferrari's going to overtake him.
Should he have come in with the safety car then in that case? Was that the issue?
Possibly, yeah. And I think other teams should have... I think they probably... Actually, Williams should have brought him in and gone for the win. But the only problem, even you heard before with Rob Smedley, all they're worried about is finishing ahead of Ferrari and Red Bull. That's kind of where they are, and they seem to be worried about what's behind them and saying, well, we're happy to get third. Where... couldn't they took a risk, brought him in? It's not, as we saw from Perez, it wasn't going to be a disastrous race if they brought him in at that time. Why not take a risk, go for the win? They don't seem to, at the moment, they don't seem to go for the win.
We think about the progress that Massa made, yeah. It almost emphasises the fact of the pace they had over the weekend. Force India then, it was Sergio Perez who did come third. He loves a one-stop, doesn't he? I mean, it's where he has his real success. He's done it time and time again. Almost be nice to see him have success when it doesn't require a one stop, because that does seem to be all it needs. But he can look after his tyres, can't he?
Seems so, and he seems to be able to keep a reasonable pace as well. I mean, there's got to be something in that car to be able to do that, because I mean, you wouldn't be doing that in some of the other cars.
He did it with Sauber as well though, didn't he?
He did, yeah, he did have some races like that actually, but yeah, I mean, it's that's one way of doing it, you know. one less stop if you can, and keep a reasonable pace, you know, with an inferior car, of getting, you know, more points. Yeah.
I mean, when Formula One ditches Pirelli and decides to have a tyre that never goes away, he'll be great, won't he, Sergio?
Oh, drive all day.
That'll be exciting.
I think, as Martin Reynolds said in the commentary, Sky, because Hülkenberg hasn't actually got a podium yet, and we all rave about Hülkenberg. But as he said, sort of Perez, when he gets the opportunity, he takes the podium. So
it's a great point, and brings me on nicely to the start, where Nico Hülkenberg, what happened there, Kyle? Did he just lose it? Well, he just sort of spun on his own, didn't he, in the end?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember it now, actually. Yeah, from what I remember, yeah, and then Ericsson just collected him. So yeah, sort of, it's been a quite strange season for Hülkenberg. Sort of, at times he looks really good, and then he sort of goes missing for a few Grand Prix. He sort of needs to be a bit more consistent if he wants some of these top drives that keep coming up.
Oh, we're criticising Nico Hülkenberg. That hasn't happened for a while. It was a cracking start. It emphasised how big the track, wide the track was. I thought there's so much room for them to manoeuvre over those first few corners. And, you know, what, three corners in, four corners in, we had a safety car and almost a massive crash as Nico Rosberg slowed right down.
Yeah, it was. I mean, actually on that, because the sort of safety car was then sort of almost triggered just before that next corner, obviously Rosberg being ahead then slowed down, and Hamilton said afterwards he didn't realise it was a safety car at that point and had to go really wide to avoid slamming into Rosberg, and Raikkonen behind him almost slammed into him, unaware to him, because of the same reasons, but because he'd seen the board ahead and slowed down. But I mean, when I was watching it, I didn't see the crash from the back, because I was so busy watching the front bit of the race, and then I suddenly sort of saw them, and I thought, well, hang on, what are they slowing down? And of course you see on the TV screens the safety car's out, and I sort of thought, well, what's that for? Because I was so busy watching the front, you know, I didn't see it, because it was literally right at the back, wasn't it?
Well, initially I assumed it was a virtual safety car, and someone had pressed the button and all the cars had immediately slowed down to safety car pace. It was so dramatic. Lotus, we've got loads of discussion points to talk about on all of these teams later on as well. But with Lotus, we'll touch on what happened in the race, which was a big crash for Romain Grosjean. And a strange crash too, because he's sort of, his back went, didn't it, first? And he sort of snaked around, and it was as if the car in front, he'd lost the downforce in the front. And
well, that was... my thinking is on that is it was the closing speeds between the sort of Mercedes-powered Lotus to that Honda. I mean, Honda, or McLaren sort of said that they had a 28-mile-an-hour speed deficit.
I think I say speed limit for a moment.
Well, let's not go there with that. but on the straights, and I think it was just the sheer closing speeds, and it just took, I think, Grosjean by surprise. And I think he just went to swerve and just lost the back end. I mean, it's not a bad car, but I mean, it's not got the downforce as Mercedes or Ferrari. I don't know if you can remember back to Weber on Kovalainen in Valencia.
Yeah, I remember it.
Closing speeds, you know, a fast car being behind a slow one. I think it was the same sort of thing. When you saw the replay and you see him come up behind him, it was just almost as if it was like, whoa, blimey, and just swerved and just lost balance and of the car, and the rest was history.
Oh, and we had a few mentions of that with Kimi as well, didn't we, about overspeed being too quick. that seems like a curious phenomena that's been created in recent days, but maybe not.
Yeah, I would just thought it was purely Grosjean's fault, really. And
well, this brings up the fact that afterwards he said, oh, we need to understand what happened, which I guess is a euphemism for, yeah, I think it's probably my fault. Or yeah,
speak, isn't it? It's the first rule in being a driver, blame something else. Yeah. No, it's just pure error and one of those things.
Deal with it. We will talk about Roman's move impending to Haas in the part two of the podcast, because we're going to do two parts. I've just decided now. So we'll talk about that. We'll skip over it for now and we'll come back to it later. One thing I did want to touch on in terms of Russia and Sochi, which I think looked pretty good for its second race there. The top eight were all different teams represented in the top eight. And that doesn't happen very often, does it? That's a pretty... I've got that right, haven't I, Kyle? Let you check.
Got Mercedes, Ferrari, Force India, Williams, Red Bull, Sauber, Lotus, Ferrari. So it's top seven.
Oh, top seven.
Kimi was eighth.
I was close. Top seven, anyway.
Yeah, because Button was ninth, so...
This is why I get you to check these things. Okay, then, of the weekends, shall we? Let's start with driver. Nomination, por favor.
Oh, Mr. Perez, I think, for his drive. Felipe Nasr as well, in sixth.
I was going to say, fantastic effort for him to take the Sauber into sixth.
Yeah, he sort of held up Massa for quite a while early on the race. If the Sauber isn't the greatest car, and yeah, it's sort of a bit unnoticed, really. But yeah, it's a good drive.
Spot on shouts for me. I'm happy with those. You, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, even though he didn't actually finish the race, probably out of more sympathy, I'd like to give it to Bottas.
Aww.
You know, I know he was helped with his strategy in that, but I mean, it was a difficult one towards the end, and I thought he generally really deserved that, obviously outside of Lewis Hamilton.
Okay. But that's just too obvious. We'll try and go with someone else in the run up to the end of the season.
We're not talking about Lewis today, it's fine. Yeah, spot on. Good old Valtteri, top stuff. How about GOAT of the weekend? Nominations, Steve?
What about the marshal, track marshal?
Yeah,
we're almost getting his legs taken away.
I mean, I'm pretty sure they're told not to just run out in the track if they see. I know he was trying to do the right thing, but seriously,
it was on a corner as well, which is the most stupid thing ever. You know, I mean, it sort of looked to me about 6 feet away from Vettel's front wing.
Oh dear.
Something like that is what it looked like to me.
Oh dear, God bless the marshals. Yeah, of course the whole sport wouldn't happen without them, so maybe he should take some lessons on how to do it safely. Kyle?
Kimi Raikkonen, not only for the crash, but I just thought in the race Vettel overtook him and he seemed to then stick with Vettel afterwards, which I thought was a bit strange. And then I just thought his general pace on the Sunday was pretty poor.
Team orders.
Oh.
They love team orders.
Well, they come across, didn't it?
He had to give the place back at one point, didn't he? Because he went off the track,
wasn't it? But you generally got the feeling that he wasn't going to let Vettel pass, but he's just generally slow. And then as Vettel got past him, he then sort of seemed to stick with him. I'm like, well, can you get the pace earlier? And I just thought it was pretty poor and pretty average, to be honest.
Well, he was slow, and then he had all the overspeed, obviously, which of course was great. Yeah, I've got Kimi written down here alongside the TV director who missed the opening overtake. Marshall's a brilliant shout, and I thought the whoever it was who put together Rosberg's Mercedes, and maybe if it was their error, poor Nico's throttle. Team, this is a tricky one because no team really shone. Maybe more than others as a team, I would suggest, possibly apart from Ferrari was going to be my suggestion, because probably Kimi should have finished a lot higher than he did. So any arguments? Are we happy with that?
Williams, you know, I mean, they Massa didn't have the greatest of qualifying, better race, you know. Williams is a different shout,
Like it.
I think probably Force India for the strategy call
Well, we don't know how Nico Hülkenberg would have done it.
Yeah, I think just the strategy call on Perez.
How about our highlights then? What we got? Highlight from the weekend.
I quite enjoyed Fernando Alonso's comment after he was told he was racing with Massa. When he's you've got a good sense of humour or something along those lines. Also quite a weird one is the starts of Grand Prix always quite exciting. But I think it could be the Sochi track hasn't got too much about it, but I do quite like the camera angle when they all come flying down straight towards the second corner. I think that's quite a little dust in the air. I thought it was quite a good image.
So. I like it. I thought, as I said, I thought the track came across pretty well, actually. Better than the first time around. How about you, Steve?
Can I have more than one highlight?
Of course you can.
Yeah. Just for a bit of a laugh of it, I thought it was funny when Lewis Hamilton in the little room bit that they go into said to more or less, not directly to Vladimir Putin, but more or less in his direction when he put the Russian hat on, said, "Am I wearing this right?" And I thought, well, you know, I've not had one of those hats before, but to me they look like fairly straightforward to work out which is front and back. But
it had just Pirelli on the front, surely.
Just in his direction, I thought that was amusing. But I mean, the other highlights. I mean, obviously the Kimi and Bottas, you know, thing. It was pretty good. And I mean, even the start really with the incident, Grosjean's incident. I thought it was pretty decent weekend.
Yeah, for me it was the best end to a Grand Prix we've had in a long time. I thought it was brilliant. I'd liked the Ushankas. I think that's the name of the Russian hats. There's a, rather than having a cap, that was what, like, as you said, whether they were wearing them the right way or not. Vladimir Putin on the podium, of course. After we, I don't know if criticised is the right word, but gave him a good mention in the NRF1 podcast last time out. It was good to see Vladimir, you know, stand.
I just find it a bit strange.
We're not going to diss Vladimir. We're happy with Vladimir.
I think it's really good. I think it's just every race we go to, you should get some.
It's a bit strange given the history without getting political.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Motorsport and the two normally don't mix.
Yeah, I'm getting twitchy now. I'm getting twitchy.
Obama in the next one, you know.
Well, yes. Well, he has to now. It's like the F1 Cold War. He now, it has to escalate. Obama has to turn up and wear one of the
Texan hats. Which is they do have on the podium.
They do, yeah. What, I can't remember what the proper name is. Stetson?
Yes.
Nailed it.
Wherever they go, just get big government leaders or whatever, get them in.
The problem is then Vladimir and Barack will be fighting over which other Grand Prix they can rock up on the podium. Then it'll get very, I think it could get quite messy. Oh, should we stop this now?
Just brief.
Am I going to have to cut this out, Steve?
No. I just suddenly remembered something that Lewis said after the race. I think it's the BBC interview. And they said to him, that, "Are you looking forward to the next race? Is America's one of your favourite tracks?" And his reply was, "I'm looking forward to Mexico because I prefer their hats to the ones they have in America."
Wow. Are they going to get some, if they get sombrero, out.
But he's already anticipating he's going to be on the podium in Mexico. Is the other thing.
And he's going to get a hat. Yes. I mean, he might not get. He might just get a cap. Steady it down, Lewis. Steady it down. Well, I think that covers it. It should be worth saying. I saw some headlines today suggesting that Lewis Hamilton had to deny that he sprayed Vladimir Putin with champagne on the podium. I don't know if he's being threatened because he's done that or whether it's just a media story.
He left before they started spraying champagne.
He did, exactly.
He sort of, I think he caught them, but he was sort of aiming for
everyone.
Yeah.
For Vettel.
The friendship between Vettel and Hamilton at the moment.
Yeah.
They seem best buds. Chatting over fastest laps and they seem really friendly at the moment.
I know, I picked up on that as well, yeah.
I think what it is Lewis has regressed to Seb's level. And they're now being all childish and, you know, Uber drivers. It bodes well for next year, the way that it's shaping up with Ferrari and Mercedes, definitely. Right, I'm going to call time on this. I'm going to say this is the end of part one. What we're going to do is come back with a podcast that will get edited very quickly, which will have all the news since we spoke before Russia. And we'll also look ahead to the Grand Prix in the United States, which is very exciting. In the meantime, let's do some plugs. The NRF1 website is still there, nrf1.uk. We'll pop some blogs up on there and what have you. And I know there are things I'm working on, like this karting video that I still haven't finished, but they're all in the pipeline. You'll get there. You know, they'll be brilliant. I'm not building them up. Twitter as well, of course, at the NRF1, and facebook.com/NRF1podcast. You can email us NRF1podcast@gmail.com, and I'm on Twitter too at Michael J. Bailey. And Carl, you're on Twitter too
at K Cumbers.
And of course, in the part two of the podcast, we will get stuck into the prediction league. A round you missed, Kyle. What will it look like on the other side? We will have a look in part two of the podcast. But until then, thank you, gents. Thank you all for listening. And keep an eye out for that second podcast. In the meantime, good night.
Time moss, mold, and mildew stains cover your home, and cleaning them is too much work. You need Wet and Forget, the easy bleach-free way to clean tough outdoor stains. For decks, patios, and cushions, use Wet and Forget outdoor spaces. No scrubbing, no rinsing, just apply and let it do the work for you over time. Got a bigger job? Reach second story siding and roofs with Outdoor Max. Up to a 30-foot reach and 2x the coverage. Get Wet and Forget at Home Depot, Lowe's, and Walmart.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses, plus free delivery when you add a base. Ends Monday. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.